everybody. How you doing? Welcome to Never Tell Me the Odds, the Star Wars RPG podcast, the podcast for a group of nerds, comedians, friends, improvisers, awesome people.
Those two, I think.
That gets everybody. And me, play through the Star Wars RPG by Fantasy Flight Games. Thanks for joining us. This is going to be fun. This is our first... This is a really exciting game for me because this is our first time playing on a Thursday. And this is going to be a weekly game from now on, moving forward. We'll see what day it ultimately lands on, but it's going to be a weekly game, which is awesome. And for now, it looks like it'll be Thursdays.
Ooh.
I know, that's awesome. That means you guys can tune in every week and watch us and support us and have fun. And we'll have fun here, watching you and supporting you and your endeavors. Great. I'm David Krennan. I will be the GM, a.k.a. the Galaxy Master. Thank you. Some people call me America's DM. That person is me.
Nice.
No one else has called me that yet, but someday. Which makes you guys...
America's players.
Yeah.
How about that?
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. So we're going to be playing... It's hard to do.
Already.
On this stream, I'm really trying to... Since this is Star Wars and Star Wars is for everybody, we're just going to, no one's going to swear. Was the notes we were going over extensively.
That worked out real great. I'm so sorry. Skip this
everybody
part.
Everybody gets one.
With the
everybody
little
gets
Jawas.
One?
Yeah,
that's
everybody
fine.
Gets one.
Okay, and I'll represent that by nothing. We'll remember. I'm going to be running a brand new adventure tonight. I hope some of you guys are familiar faces. I bet a lot of you are, actually, because I recognize some of the names on our monitor. Oh, including Random Tangent. I know who that is.
What?
It was a brand new adventure. This is going to be taking place about 30 years after the events of Empire Strikes Back, a.k.a. during the whole Force Awakens era, and these guys are going to be playing in the whole crazy Star Wars universe with some of the new things that are happening. So exciting. But let's hear about who all these beautiful people are. Who are these beautiful people? Let's start with Talene.
Oh, let's start with me. Hi, everyone. I'm Talene. You may know me formerly as an Ewok named Root, who was killed mercilessly in space.
Oh, I remember that.
Me too.
I don't know. Killed mercilessly? Is that how you describe drifting off into the void, freezing to death? Oh, no. Or burning on reentry?
I think I was just drifting off. I think I was electrocuted, but then somehow managed to maintain consciousness so that people could try and keep...
So you were aware when you died.
Yes, people kept talking to me as I floated off into space and died.
Wow. The merciless part of it was the joy that was clearly in your face. That was the merciless part.
I don't know what you're talking about. Okay.
Are we saying who we are this time or saving it?
Why don't we say who we are this time? That's a good start. And give us the bullet points.
This time, in this adventure, I'm playing Tavia Bachler.
Okay, I gotta practice that. Tavia Bachler.
Yes, Tavia Bachler. But everyone calls me Doc because they're all bastards. Dang it!
Everyone gets one.
Bastards has gotta be okay. Someone must say bastards. No.
They're all people without legitimately married parents.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. Old social mores.
Space marriage.
Space marriage is super important.
Okay, so Tavia Bachler, and who is she?
Tavia Bachler is a bioengineer who was really successful out in the world, but then things went wrong. Now she's on the run, inventing things, experimenting, being brilliant. Very, very brilliant.
And currently
scientist.
Living on a battered and barren desert moon in the armpit region of the galaxy, a place where no one wants to set foot. And I'm going to spoil this right now, guys. Jedha. The moon Jedha. It was a moon. A lot of people didn't get that from the movie, but it is actually a moon. Wikipedia is very clear on that point.
Wikipedia is clear.
Wikipedia. So and this entire adventure actually is going to be starting on Jedha post Rogue One. Post-Death Star attack and all of this stuff. So for some reason, Octavia is there, brilliant scientist that she is.
The worst part is that I never have anyone I can talk to as an equal.
Awesome. All right.
In character. That was me, character, guys.
Tully! Tully!
Getting a very McCoy vibe from it all.
McCoy?
Yeah, Dr. McCoy.
Dang it.
No,
yeah. That's
yeah,
where you got
it.
Is
that where I'm going?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Except with more sneaky experimenting on people.
Yeah. Like an amoral McCoy.
In my headcanon, that's McCoy was sneakily experimenting on everybody all the time anyway.
Well, then definitely. Thank you for nailing my character.
Great. Okay, let's move in a counterclockwise motion from you to the next player.
Counterclockwise?
Yes.
That would
I'm
be
a product
ready.
Of a public school. I don't know what you're talking about.
I didn't
about.
Know which way that would go either. That was exciting. Yes. Is that Markia?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. I am Markia McCarty. If you saw me last time, I was on Dungeon Fights here, like on Monday. But for this particular group, I used to be Maharaja. I think it was a Twi'lek?
Twi'lek.
That's right, Twi'lek. Maharaja.
Yes, it's Maharaja Twi'lek, a bounty hunter.
That's right.
Who mysteriously disappeared. probably found her sister and continued on with her life. But for now, I am Naxxie Tyand. Naxxie is my clan name.
Naxxie Tyand.
Tyand.
Yes, Tyand is my given name.
Do you prefer to go by Naxxie or by Tyand?
My friends can call me Tyand. My anything else calls me Naxxie, which is also my battle cry.
Naxxie.
Yes. Can't wait for that.
Okay.
It's my clan name. It's also my battle cry.
So as the DM, do I get to call you Tyand or do I call you Naxxie?
Tyand.
Okay, Tyand. All right.
The DM is your friend. Yes.
That's,
good.
Wait. That's your first mistake.
So I am Sakian. So I am a very big-brained individual.
That's sexy.
Yes. I'm an expert tracker and hunter, also a gadgeteer. I'm deep green, because, yes, deep green with the yellow eyes.
Do you have hair?
I do not.
Because of that big old brain.
Yeah. No, it's like it's with
like
my
it's
race.
Out
we
there
don't have, we're hairless.
It.
It's like we've got a burnished metal kind of head. It's like
whoa.
Shiny.
Shiny head. Like me almost. Someday I'll have a very shiny head. And a big brain in it.
Yes. Very intellectual.
So Tyand, great, that's awesome. But otherwise, humanoid looking, right? Other than the...
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yes, humanoid.
Okay, interesting.
And I am, as a Sakian, I am I'm an angsty Batman-like gadgeteer.
We'll see that in the game, I hope. That'll
yes.
be fun.
I'm also an adolescent. I'm 14 and a half.
That is trippy. That is the most interesting part. So somehow you are essentially stranded, I would guess, on this moon. You guys actually are all kind of stranded on this moon.
So I'm on purpose stranded.
Okay, yes. Or you could just be there because you can't get your shit together and get off it or whatever, for whatever reason.
That was your one. I feel so much better now.
It's going to be a challenge. So, okay, but you're a 14-year-old there without your family, 14 and a half.
14 and a half.
And, but you're also a badass Batman angsty
ass kicker. Yes, because for Sakians, they hit adulthood at 16. So I'm almost there, you know.
You're a smart kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But my the thing that's my driving force is that I've got to redeem my clan's honor. My pride father lost his life in our land in a rigged gladiator battle.
Ooh,
so
rigged.
I like rigged. That. You know what else is interesting to me about that? Very interesting is that Sakians often work for Hutts. They have a deep. They're from Hutt Space,
yeah.
And I wonder if it was the Hutts who rigged that battle. We'll find out.
We'll find out.
It probably was.
Could have been enemies of the Hutts. I don't know. Could have been.
Guile, oh, I got so many plot hooks in me now. Reel me in, storyteller.
Let's continue in our counterclockwise motion around the table.
Hi, I don't know which camera I'm supposed to look at. This one. Hi, I'm Andrew. I've played a lot of different things in Never Tell Me the Odds. I think most of them have been as Gippy Bindu. So in a bid to atone for my role-playing sins,
redeem your soul.
I'm going to try and play a much more grounded and moral character. His name is Zimro Maltin. He's a Rodian. He's on the older side of things. He's probably in his early 50s.
Thank God for a second. I thought you were going to say octogenarian.
No, no.
400 pounds.
Nope. He's weathered like the desert of Jeddah. He's been on Jeddah probably for the last couple decades. He's got a lot of roots in this community, and it seems real important to him. In fact, it seems as almost he has taken some sort of oath to protect the innocents on this planet and those around him, you know, and keeping bad elements, if not out, at least under control. So he's kind of like a shifty, underworld like connection personality and background, but ultimately he's got a heart of gold. So that's Zimro.
Heart of gold.
Yeah.
Zimro.
Did I mention he's a Rodian? No. Anyway, that's like Greedo, the guy that gets shot first by Han. Thank you very much.
Zimro, I love it. Okay, so Zimro,
Tyann.
Zimro, Tyann, Doc, and
I'm Troy D. Patterson. The D stands for Dem Valentine. That's the character that I'm going to be playing.
Wow!
I like that. That was nifty.
Not where I thought it was going.
He's the grandson of the character that I previously played, Valerie Valentine. He's
Val's your pal.
Dem is coming along for the ride because he's making good on every single promise that his grandfather once said. So every single wrong that his grandfather did, he's going to make right. And so he ended up on this moon because he got betrayed by someone else. So he wants to get off so that he can continue his mission to right the wrongs of his grandfather.
Interesting. And let's take us to that moon. Even as we speak, this windswept, cold desert moon. In fact, here it is in front of us. Wow, Jedha.
Oh.
Is this at all visible? Our stalwart producer, Dom.
Oh!
Everybody, brief round of applause for Dom behind the cameras who doesn't get an intro. Oh, he's demurring. 70 times our audio drops out, yeah. Okay, great. Well, there we go anyway. Dom, thank you so much. So this is our tiny little map, and I'll try and get us a bigger one in the future, but this is what is left of Jedha. Each of these hexes is about 100 miles across.
Whoa.
And we're going to be doing something. Yeah, but you guys have a land speeder, so couple hours travel, not so bad. This is what's left of Jedha. In fact, this big blotch is where the Death Star fired its laser, so that's like a 700 or 800 mile crater. That's what's 30 years later still remains of it, where the magma core of the planet is still exposed, a wound that will not heal, a planet that is no longer whole. And overhead in the crisp night air dangles the glittering ring, which has formed over Jedha, formed from the crust of the planet itself that was blasted up to escape velocity into space. Now also the source of wealth for this planet, as the Kyber shards, the invaluable Kyber shards, occasionally rain to Earth in the constant meteor showers that are constantly coming down, pockmarking the surface of the planet. The geography is constantly changing. Every day there's a it's like, you know, debris continues to rain down. That's where it's going to be taking place, and we're going to be doing kind of a sandbox game this time, guys. So I'm going to do a little more hands off, let you guys motivate it a little bit. Ooh, am I crazy? Probably.
We'll see where this goes.
What is he doing? So we talked about your characters a tiny little bit. You each have an obligation for your character. I don't want to get into that right now. What I will do is I'm going to roll to see whose obligation is triggered, and whoever's is triggered, we'll get into it for your character. You can tell us a little bit about what motivates you. Could you fetch me, that'd be great, a D4 if you see one? Beautiful.
Surely, if I see one.
If you see one. And while, in fact, we're doing that, let's roll up our destiny pool, woo, ladies and gentlemen, to see how many light side and dark side points we have in play this game. Thank you. Okay. Let's do our destiny points first, I guess. Yeah. Oh, we've got let's use the big sack of dice. That'll be easier. Yeah.
We need dice.
You need some help there, David?
Do-do-do-do-do.
No? Okay, you got it?
Oops, I thought so.
Uh-oh.
Is this it?
Technical difficulties.
Please
wait while we fix our technical difficulties.
That's copyrighted by Saving Throw Show.
Ooh, I love the sound of those dice on the table. Great, these are the Force dice, the white ones, as you guys well know. Would each person please take a turn rolling that up. If you get a light side point, you generate a point of light side. The planet's
I'm sorry, I ripped it apart.
Again? Poor Jetta. So that was one dark side point. Ooh, two dark side points.
What do you got?
Two light side points.
Yay!
Balance in the force. Right. But we're not done yet.
Let's see.
Yeah, let's, okay, there we go. Two light side points.
That's
can
the
I
good
redeem
one.
Myself? No.
Oh. Yes.
That's a big no.
So we see that this is an interesting role too for your characters. So dark side favoring you guys. But we have Tyann.
Shining beacon of light to come back and redeem our old souls.
And what?
Right? Or something.
What is the DM?
That must rankle in your soul.
Great. So we've got four light side points, four dark side points. That's pretty much
balanced.
Gorgeous, isn't it? One thing I want to do, since this is a fun little sandbox game, is introduce weather effects. So I have a little weather chart, which I manufactured for myself.
Nice.
Weather is always going to start as a clear, calm day. However, at the start of a game, I can choose to spend a certain number of my dark side points to push our weather marker towards inclement weather. So obviously when I spend a dark side point, it flips over to a light side point. I'm going to grab my little chart out, which looks beautiful, and I won't share with anybody because I scribbled it on the back of this piece of paper. But next time I will. So the basic function of this is you start out fine. As I spend dark side points, it pushes the weather overhead, the clouds darken, the winds pick up, the dust is riled, lightning flashes. If I spend one dark side point, you guys have to add a black setback die for the rest of the game day to any rolls you make.
Okay.
If I spend two setback die, you have to, or I'm sorry, if I spend two dark side points, you have to spend two setback die for the rest of the day to edit all of your rolls. Three adds a purple to your difficulty checks. And if I'm lucky enough to have four dark side points on the board, I can choose to spend them all and make everybody's difficulty get upgraded from a purple to a red anytime they're outside. However, for those more severe weather issues, those pass a little more quickly, so they only last for as long as a scene. At the end of the scene, it downgrades to the next least bad weather condition until you're back to clear.
Okay.
Got it.
Makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, do I want to upgrade the weather a little bit? I sure do. I'm just going to spend one of my dark side points. Flip that over. So, as we pick up on the surface of Jetta, overhead, the sun has set. The stars are beginning to come out across this dusky purple horizon, across this gray, drab desert. Orange in the sunlight right now, losing all of its color. You can see the buttes and the mesas out there. You see the wind beginning to pick up a little bit. And around you in the city streets of this little town called Gano Hill, one of the last bits of civilization left on this blighted moon, life kind of ekes its way along. Somewhere shouting, running around between these narrow, cramped avenues that are crowded by old adobe structures and kind of tumbled ancient stone buildings. You can hear kids shouting, running, playing, even splashing in the edge of the giant cistern, which is in the center of town, a huge ancient stone pool, which provides the town with natural water. All of the structures, as we look up Gano Hill, kind of descend this big hill, almost a mountain, just on the edge of town. Luckily, this was all far enough away from the Death Star strike that it wasn't annihilated. But, you know, time's been unkind to it anyway. There's this big hill, the structures are all built on the side of it, and they kind of tumble down almost out to the plains where they run into the ancient city walls, which encompass pretty much the entire city, except for one section 100 feet across, which has crumbled into rubble, which is now the de facto way in and out. It used to be the gate, but does a good job keeping out the elements, keeps out the marching dunes. On top of the hill, as we zoom back up over these tumbled-down buildings, the structures kind of get more and more intact until at the top of this 600-foot-tall hill sits this giant stone monastery carved out of the living rock itself. Giant pillars rising up to this huge open archway, two massive Durasteel doors, black Durasteel, closed tight against the night. doors which are almost never opened, an ancient fortress monastery currently occupied by the lord of the town, the guy who lays claim to everything that happens here, that looks down upon everything that happens below it. But those doors usually stay closed. Not much happens there.
What is the name of the lord?
Oh, you've been here for quite a while, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Lord... I had a name for him, but I'm changing him on the spur of the moment.
With a D-L-O-R-D-E. Lord. Mm-hmm.
Let's go with...
His name's Mayor Lord.
Lord Mayor Lord. No, I'm going to go with Frax. I'm going to switch it up.
Frax.
Lord Frax.
Frax.
Yeah. One of the other interesting features that this old temple fortress has on it is a turbo laser battery built into one corner of it. So you guys look up about, you know, however many feet, 400 feet or so. And on one corner, there's actually two of these ancient giant turbo laser batteries, but one is just rusted and fallen apart. The other one, very much operational, very handy for a case shooting off the occasional giant winged predator that swoops in and terrorizes the town. Also, or the hostile natives that come swarming at the city gates every now and then. Also, just kind of ominous to have them hanging over the city where they can kind of point down at you guys as well. So in the shadow of Lord Frax's castle, you guys live your everyday life. And in fact, that's where we pick up right now. You guys on the streets, probably gathered at the depot. There's only a couple buildings in town that are worth a damn, that are worth a dang. There's only a couple buildings in town. Is damn okay?
Damn's okay.
I think it's okay.
Okay. They say bitch on
TV
sometimes.
They say that
sometimes.
On TV. Yeah, they say it on TV.
They say bitch
but
on TV.
But not in Star Wars.
They wouldn't say it in Star Wars.
Yes, they would.
But you have a vested interest in this.
Damn and hell are okay to say.
All right. Guys, before we get too much further, actually, Jess Blender. Hi, Jess. Thanks for resubscribing. Gives the whole table one reroll? Is that one for every person or one for the table to spend? Am I part of the table?
No,
I
must... you're not part of the table.
I must say an excellent Star Wars name, too.
Jess Blender.
Can we get one?
Yeah, it's a good one.
Oh, it's me, Obi-Wan, the Jess Blender.
Yeah, I can see that.
Oh, Jess Blender.
What are you doing here, Jess?
Okay. So before we get too much further and before I forget, let's see whose obligation is currently triggered. I'm going to roll this up. We'll call Andrew 1, or let's just go by your name. Zemro is 1.
Tyand.
I'm going to remember that. Tyand is 2. Doc is 3. Ben is 4. 1, Zemro. Ooh. Zemro, okay. So as we're standing here in the fueling depot, there's a little bit of life going on around you.
Right.
There's a couple land speeders pulled up to these big... tubes coming down from whatever the fuel pumps and mist is spraying out. You guys are gathered around the annex, trading annex, where you would turn in shards you had just recovered for payment. Zemro standing there. What is your obligation?
All right, so Zimro's dark and shady past is
Zemro.
He was actually an infiltrator in the Rebel Alliance on behalf of the Galactic Empire. For many years in his youth.
You were an Imperial spy, yes. Spying on the Rebels.
Yes, he was basically a deep cover spy. Ooh. In the Rebels. And
you're such a nerf herder.
Basically was responsible for many counterintelligence operations that resulted in, like, the Death Star plans, like, barely getting into the hands of the Rebels. And so when he saw the amount of destruction that took place, the destruction of Alderaan, basically, like, had a moral epiphany and completely vanished and ghosted on the Imperials.
Oh, wow.
And,
that's tough to do.
Yeah. About 20 years ago, decided to do anything he could to at least try and put some good back into the world. And the first place he decided to go was Jedha, which was the first place I was hit by the Death Star.
Oh, wow.
So that's his oath. So his
It's an oath.
His oath is to... protect the well-being of the community here on Jedha, and try and preserve any kind of culture, history, or community that he's a part of. So something that would threaten that, or
which makes sense why you're in the largest remaining town.
Yes,
even though it's maybe 4,000 or 5,000 people total.
Right.
Okay.
He's like a he's like a shadow sheriff. Like nobody knows who he is, or
he's like
or knows his name, or doesn't really know anything about him. But like behind the scenes, he's
interesting. A shadowy enforcer.
Yeah.
Vigilante.
Sort of.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Cool. So when your obligation is triggered, I feel like you would see something that spurns you on. Well, first of all, when your obligation is triggered, you're going to take 2 strain immediately.
Okay.
Just to represent, maybe in this case, the strain.
You need a pencil.
I'll take a pencil too, actually.
Those are important in RPGs. Usually I'm just like, diplomacy, and then I don't have to do anything. But
thank you, dear. Excellent. Okay, so 2 strain, everybody gets that. In this case, or just he is triggered on that. In this case, that represents the weight of your oath. Kind of, you're feeling it today.
I look around and I see all the crime and all the scumbags that are infesting this flea-bitten place and hear the cries of those kids, and I know that no matter what I do, perhaps they won't have a bright future after all.
I love to imagine that voice coming in a tiny little.
Well, all you guys hear is. So, like, yeah, that's.
I love it. Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. Overhead, there's a streaking of some of these, the constant starfall that is happening. Little meteorites coming down from the ring. This unstable bit of the crust that was blasted into the air above you, and that cold wind blows past your trench coat. Who would be dealing with our character at the depot here? So the reason I mentioned this briefly, that you're at the depot, is one form of resources on this little dust ball, and that is the kyber crystals.
Right.
You guys have a couple from a recent. In fact, let's see how much you've got.
Do we all know each other?
Yeah, I think you guys know each other at this point. So you're all there, maybe in some capacity.
Are we trying to help this guy get off the planet, maybe, or...
Have you shared that with everybody while you're there?
Oh, yes. He believed that there was going to be tons and tons of money here, and he's hoping to just get in there, get the money, and leave.
You gotta go to Jeddah. The streets are paved with kyber shards. They fall out of the sky.
You're a pilot? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes. He's a pilot and as well as a mechanic.
Cool.
That's interesting. I don't know if that would motivate you. So the reason you would probably know each other is whenever these kyber shards fall down to the earth, there's a mad scramble as everyone goes for them because they're the only thing that's worth anything on this planet anymore. Other than that, the occasional thing that's just found in the old ruins. But it's dangerous out there. It's dangerous out there on the steppes. There are the planet's native inhabitants. There are the embittered remnants of the military forces that have been eking a living out there. And then there are all the other washed-up outcasts, losers, lunatics, etc. So you really can't do it alone. You guys are sticking together out of common cause more than maybe real friendship. Actually, I'm going to change that voice.
Hello.
Hello. How are you good today?
In an obese Boffin steps into frame around the trading depot's counter. This is just a kind of a shortish, squattish, heavily reinforced building, flanked by a couple of armed droids, kind of rusty droids, but they do have weapons. And at the counter, a obese Boffin, male, kind of, they look like cat people, but don't worry about it. Kind of got camel sort of faces going on.
Not worried about it.
Well. So, it's you losers again.
Who would be the person who has some shards from a recent...
Definitely me.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Okay, so how tall are you if you're 14 and a half?
Well, the average height for this... Well, the tall end for this was like 6.1.
They're tall people.
Yeah, but that was the tall end. That was like tall end male. So, put her, like...
just none of that.
Like 4, 5.
5 feet?
5-4.
And a half.
And a half. 5-4.5.
Great. 5-4.5. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, you're visible above the counter, of course.
Where's your losers again? What have you brought for me this time?
He says, extending a flabby palm towards you. So let's see. What are you guys bringing towards them? You're bringing some sort of amount of kyber shards that you're going to exchange for credits, precious credits.
Yes. Oh, you hunt these, don't you? They slip out of my lard greased fingers.
You disgust me.
You disgust me. But let's not get into that now. We can get into that later.
Okay, so give me a skill check to represent how successful you were on your last little mission that happened off screen before this game started.
I'm not interested in these little shards that everyone's after. I'm looking for the parts and pieces I need to continue with my experiments and build my things. So I ride with these guys because it's convenient, and sometimes I'll want some money to buy something I can't find, but...
The nice thing about the shards are... They pay out real credits,
but the things I want can't be bought with credits.
It's about 200 credits per shard.
For me, I try to keep the kid out of trouble. I help out yokels that land here for no good reason, and I basically get shot a lot, so I need this jerk around.
Coming from you, that's almost affectionate.
Yeah, whatever. But you just make sure that you keep plenty of Bacta around, because... I don't feel like we're going to get through this one in one piece.
If Bacta in short supply.
Don't have any Bacta.
Nope.
So it's going to go old school and stitch you up.
It's an old school.
Maybe I might leave something inside you. Who knows?
There's barely a holonet on this planet. There's the nav beacon sticking up like a thumb with a red light on top of it out in the edge of town there. Probably in the center, actually, not far from the cistern. And that picks up kind of a staticky holonet. You know, you get about one channel on the old holonet box. You can kind of keep up with the Galactic News Network, see what's going on. That probably down at... Most people spend their time down at the distillery. Place that
oh,
serves
yeah,
out
I
the
like
booze.
That place.
Yeah, the Severed Limb, which is just on the other
severed
edge of...
Severed Limb. I'm going to make a note of that.
Yeah. And they have, like, a semi-reliable holonet relay people gather around. And that's about the source of the entertainment in town. You guys hear the clanking as, like, Kyber shard miners come in through like the old gate, and they're coming on their battered up old machinery that's been salvaged and stuff like that.
Yeah. What I'm interested in is how many shards you have.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, so let's give me a cunning check.
Not a perception.
I will take some skill. Is perception
really cunning?
Perception
is a cunning, yeah.
Perfect. Okay. Perception is a great check. So you'll see on your sheet how many yellow and green dice you have.
Okay. I have 2 yellow, 1 green. I have a rank of 2.
Standard difficulty on this, just 2 purple.
Okay.
And this is going to determine each success you get is good. They'll determine how many shards you've come back with. If you fail, don't screw you over.
Do we just do this. There isn't anything that we want to do.
Not on this roll.
Okay.
Okay.
Ooh, what do we got? 2 blanks, that's interesting.
2 success, 2 failure, and 2 advantage.
Great. Okay, so the way we always do this, of course, is success, you guys get to interpret. A lot of times that's easy to tell what it is. The advantage means that in addition to something successful or failure happening, something that improves your situation, something that gives you an advantageous bit of leverage occurs. You have 2 advantage, so I'm going to let you interpret that. I always let you guys interpret that. Failure and threat, I get to interpret. So this was a failure. So you don't have many shards. You did not pull many shards out. You've got a little bag, probably about this big, that you open up. And inside, I hand it over to... Oh, you know this guy's name, by the way. This fat-ass Boffin is a failure in... Failure.
Dumbacha.
Don't call me Dumbacha. Failure.
I'm sorry. That's your brother.
Yes. Did you meet?
What was your name again?
Failure.
Failure.
You know my name. You've been in this town for
Well, you're only 14 and a half, so not too long.
Why does everybody say my age all the time?
I don't know. It's a notable feature about you, I guess. Don't get mad at me. I'm a fat boffin. Why does everyone talk about that, huh?
It was slim pickings this time, but they're really good shards.
So normally you guys know you make about 200 credits per shard. Unfortunately, price has changed. 100 credits per shard.
What?
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's the best Lord Frix can do for you right now. Here you go. That represents each of those is 100 credits.
That's not enough.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Okay, you have a little advantage. What would your advantage be? Ooh, hello, Damuta.
Damuta.
Thanks for the follow.
Thanks for the follow.
I can get you that information that you were asking me about.
Shh! Not so loud. What information was that again?
You wanted to know the codes to be able to have your own HoloNet relay?
Oh, and I can get the picture of the bouncy bounces. The jubilee jubiles. Yes, yes. This motivates me.
I mean, we could at least.
I love this family program.
Those were funny words I used. That's family. It could have meant anything.
It's some kind of sport game. Exactly. It's a sport game he's talking about.
Bouncy, bouncy.
You should see my bracket for the bouncy, bouncy jubilee jubilees.
No. Well.
AKA space basketball.
That's all we're talking
the
about.
The bouncy, bouncy jubilee jubilee game was great, man. What's that? Okay, yeah. Sorry. You have the codes?
Well, I have a really good way of getting the codes, don't we?
What? Yeah.
We know exactly where those codes are. We can get you those codes, but we have to have enough credits to be able to make it happen.
Sorry, I was daydreaming about a world where you had negotiation skills. What does this jerk want?
He wants the codes to be able to hack into the HaloNet relay without having going to the server.
If you have the HaloNet relay codes, maybe we give you the old rate, huh? Maybe it's doubled. Give you another 500 credits.
Yeah, we can get those codes.
Am I the only one who's not okay with this?
I couldn't care less.
I'm sorry, I can't hear it when people,
Listen, we'll make it a fair trade. We'll go to someone who has a code and say, hey, just give us a code and we'll trade you something for it, like not breaking your face.
Or I can slice them.
That's true. There's plenty of people here that deserve slicing up. Just ask this asshole. This is going to be really tough.
You called me an asshole? Because I asked so much from you?
Oh. You're always asking me to do ridiculous things. It makes me want to put holes in you.
Ooh, you're an asshole.
So it's a deal then, right?
It's a deal as soon as you get me those codes. Then you can have, and he flicks a little switch, a catch on the other side of a roller metal sheet, and it displays all the different heavy hardware on display, the blaster rifles, the full set of padded armor, the vibro knife, the stun grenade, frag grenade. You guys... Ooh.
There's a store in this game, y'all.
That's easy if you get me the code.
Now, the shards that she traded were all of our shards collectively?
Yeah, that's all you guys managed to get together. Now, important thing about those shards, they also are the only source of fuel. The fuel is astronomically expensive. It is the main thing that Lord Frix controls here on the in your little town. You need that to power. Who would have the awesome land speeder? I'm thinking might be you.
Yeah, it's okay.
Actually, it might be better than okay. You have three options for land speeders here, and I want you to take a look at which of these you like. Get ready, Star Wars nerds. Do you have the AV-21 land speeder? That is slick, low to the ground, swept back profile, moves fast, does not have, not very strong, but keeps moving. Then there's the Seraph flash speeder. That's about the same speed. It's just a little stronger, a little more solid. It also has the built-in gun.
built-in gun.
Finally, the A3 Dreylite speeder truck. So this one's a lot less sexy. This is more like a minivan or a small Mack truck or something like that.
Okay, we don't have that one.
It's way tougher. It's way tougher. It can fit way more in it. It's just way pokier.
Go for something cool.
Okay. Take a look at these. Let me know what you think. Any of them can have a gun attached to it if you want.
Okay.
Only one of them has a gun built in, but that gun takes up one of its hard points that you could...
This is like a multi-seat speeder, or is this like we're all riding, like, holding on
they're
to each
all,
other's
they all
waist,
have,
and it's just like...
They all have enough room.
Yeah.
The one with the gun is probably a real tight fit. The other ones have a little more room. The truck's got room for you guys and five buddies.
Right. So this is repulsor lift technology.
Repulsor lift technology, yes indeed. Which you're an expert at. I know that
the
from reading
the
book.
The future is long, long ago.
But the Seraph is called a flash speeder.
So it's your call if you're the speeder guy. So, but your speeder eats up a lot of fuel. The way we're going to do this is you guys have to spend one token per hex you want to move. And where are we? Gosh, let's establish that. I had a little token I was going to use, but I don't know where it is.
One of those guys.
One of these guys. We'll put you right there. So,
okay.
Gano Hill, right there on the map. Each hex you want to move takes one token, which I just gave you,
okay.
The price of which, or you can spend them for credits to buy things. That's also acceptable.
Okay.
Your fuel tank is the same for each of those, and I'll remind you of this again when you write it down. You can fit 20 credits worth of fuel in there. That's 20 hexes, and you have a half tank right now. Got 10 hexes worth of fuel in it.
And you said it's a tight fit for the speeder.
The one with the gun is a tight fit. The other one has just enough room for you guys, and the truck's got room to spare.
I want to shoot stuff.
You can always shoot off the back.
I want whatever's cool.
So which one of us had the 14-year-old try and negotiate? I still don't. What?
Why don't we get the one with, like, that truck sounds like basically like space what? RV. Could put beds in the back. People could lay down in those beds.
Tilene,
I could
like that you're excited by
them.
Space RVs. Forget that one with the guns. I can lay down back here.
This is a chemical toilet. I need that. That is a requirement for
this
anything.
One, you can stand over the toilet and there's a little nozzle. You can shower.
If I do this, I have to do this in character, so I have to stick with the truck.
Please.
Wow!
Yeah!
Win for the
it's
space RV!
It's about misleading me.
Yeah, he's so boring and like...
No.
I'm going to get married and have children and work on a farm. Nothing exciting about him.
So
honestly enough, it would be all about getting the most amount of stuff in there that we can and leaving with it, not speed.
Okay. Well, no, I will, before you make that final decision, let me mention one more thing about this. What people do like in this town is speed.
Yeah.
I avoid that. No, there are definite advantages to having that, but one of the major ones is also the fact that it's tough.
We don't have to come back in. We just be out there in our space RV.
Or we could go for the medium option.
And little girl comes a crude-looking pack of scavengers, not so dissimilar from you guys in terms of they go out there and get crystals. A little more intense in the fact that they're a bunch of tatted up Arcona. Arcona are, you guys remember the cantina scene in Star Wars?
Yes.
That, yeah, that narrows it down.
Yeah.
Okay. The very first alien we see when we cut to the cantina scene, close up on Glitter Eye's face.
Right.
He's got that swoopy head.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's an Arcona.
Cool.
There's a whole gang of them there, eyes golden. Hey, out of the way, little girl, as they push you to the side.
No, you didn't. You don't know who you're messing with.
Silence. I have good customers here now.
And they like have much bigger crystals than you and everything like that.
Better luck next time, don't be so slow.
there's like four or five of them as well. So whenever there's a shard fall, whenever there's a shard fall, basically everybody jumps in their speeders, all the different gangs, and roar out of the city gates as fast as humanly possible to get them.
Yeah.
Dragsters. It's a city of dragster land pirates.
I really want this truck now.
I just just like my. It's just like
all everyone's my, like. I was like, we'll get there when we get there.
My favorite scenes in Star Wars are when they're just like hanging out in their RV. Like,
right?
Those are the best scenes.
Like, this is the time when people get to talk about their feelings.
Hey guys, let's stop right here. It's time for a guitar song. You guys open up the door. And
a little campfire.
Yeah. What a hunk of junk.
Hey now, that completed the Kessel Run extremely comfortably.
So here's a bunch of...
There's a full kitchen in there.
Okay, so as we were thinking about that and as these Arconas push you out of the way, you know the name of this gang. These are the Golden Eyes. Yeah. And they all have those golden glitter eyes, of course. A paternalistic, a friendly hand falls upon the back of, I guess you, since right. You've been in this town quite a long time.
Reflexes.
Arm comes off.
Yeah, okay.
It does, actually. You're just holding his prosthetic arm. Oh, you always get me with that one.
Sorry about that, pal. Here you go.
He takes it. It's the proprietor of the severed limb, of course, as he puts it back on.
Of course, it's all...
Alberto! You remember Alberto?
Alberto.
Yeah, that's right, Alberto. Come on, Felerin, you're an asshole. You're a fat boss and asshole.
That's what I was trying to say.
I can't believe he's screwing you again. Look, when you come back to the severed limb, drink some.
Yes.
I'll buy you a round.
Let's go.
And this place drives us crazy. Drives me crazy. What am I doing here? Why am I still here? Hey, come on.
All right.
Yeah. On the way out, I push and trip one of the golden eyes. But oh, I run after them.
Nice. I like it.
Getting off with that one.
What? You need to stand right.
Cut to the severed limb. Okay, so the distillery cantina in town, it is like a 3-story tall... rickety shanty. Bottom floor was a big. What was it? The Biff music?
No, he's got a little snoot that he's sipping his.
Because you're the roadie.
Yeah, you remember.
Yes.
It's the thing.
That's exactly what's happening. You guys are on the table. The little Dajalik hollow chest table, which does not work, that they have like whittled bits of like debris to use in like physical fashion on it, is in one corner. There's a second and a third floor that have been built on top of the stone ruins of the bottom floor, but those are like made out of like tin sheets of metal and bits of wooden scaffolding. But it's brightly lit inside. There's everyone's gathered around. It can fit, you know, 100, 200 people. But Alberto does pretty good business, and he's friendly, and he likes you guys. He's an old Abadendo, which is an alien race I can't imagine anyone knows.
But they have beards.
Don't even think I brought a picture, but I'm going to
check. Use your power of description. Transport us.
They look weird. imagine a lizard.
It's like I'm there.
Imagine a lizard with a... But instead of lizard... No, imagine a horse with a lizard face.
Oh, my God. I actually know...
A horse with a lizard face.
I know what race it is. Like.
With a wrinkly old lizard face.
I don't think
scales,
what I'm picturing
just wrinkly skin. He's got tiny little eyes.
Yep.
On either side. The hammerhead from Force Awakens.
Yes.
Oh,
hammerhead.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Kind of nightmare fuel.
Yeah.
Okay, I was thinking BoJack Horseman.
That's not bad. You're going to be BoJack Horseman. Do I have a picture? No, I don't. Okay, so that's Alberto, the Abadendo of the severed limb. He's reasserting his like prosthetic arm back in.
Drink up! Ah, yeah, come on! It's okay, I know. What else do we do around here, huh?
There's nothing to do. You know what's worth doing?
Fixing that table downstairs.
It's not at all where I was going with that.
No, if anything, I'd like to, you know, take a closer look at the HoloNet relay, just, you know, to just look at it.
Don't mind her. We're looking for an extra code so that we can actually get our due. Hey, I know a lot. This guy's cool, right?
It was not for that asshole Falarin, is it? That guy, everybody hates that guy. Spoiled little pussycat of Lord Fricks. He's lowered his power over us all. He's screwing us. Screwing me. You know how much he's charging us for alcohol now?
Listen, Listen, pal, you and I go way back, and plus, I don't want to bring up that little indiscretion that you had a couple months back.
Well,
okay, give me a check. We better do a roll.
Underworld or Ooh. Skull or
I take Underworld. I'll take Underworld would be great or negotiation.
Okay, I'll do Underworld then.
Doc, we haven't really established. Have you been just tagging along quietly? In the
I don't
back?
Know why I'm with these guys. I just want a drink.
Would you be back at? Oh, you're there drinking maybe.
Yeah, I'm there drinking.
Would that make sense? So they come in, they see you. You're at the usual table.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what do you drink?
Whatever is like the closest to poisoning me.
That's everything on the menu.
Oh,
here.
Then I let him surprise me. Then
you're drinking more scunch.
That's what I'm drinking.
The stuff we brew from the lichen we scrape off the rocks. Yeah,
it's one of those things, you know. When you hear scunch, you're like, ugh, and then you drink it for a few years. And like,
well, let me pour you a double there.
Thank you. Ugh.
He turns his attention back to you.
You old scunch slinger. There we go. That's better. All right, so what's my difficulty here for my underworld check?
Ooh, against this
see
guy?
See if I have the dirt on this guy to get some info.
Well, he wasn't born yesterday, that's for sure. Sorry. Yeah, so let's see here. Mm-hmm. There we go, let's do this guy. Okay, make it a red and two purple. You
Ooh,
got that?
Man.
He's been slinging scunge for a long time in this shitty little cantina.
Yeah,
shritty.
I have a feeling that this is vital to forward narrative momentum. So I'm going to spend a life side point, if that's all right, and upgrade, see if I can get some triumph action on here. So I'm rolling two yellow, two purple, and one red. All right, and that is a super failure. So I guess he's definitely went public with the affair, and that's no longer something that I can blackmail him with. I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. No, I got rid of her. Yeah, I'm done. I'm done with her now. With the old woody, the old battle axe. Good riddance. All I need is scunch.
That's right.
Right.
I need another refill.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't help you with that. Did you get advantage or threat?
Everybody knows about that affair.
Even I know about it.
One threat. So
yeah.
As he reaches to pour the scotch,
oh, empty.
Wait, why is his threat hurting me?
You keep your scotch.
I will keep my scotch. I love you. You're a good man. Don't go threatening to pull that blackmail on me. Okay.
Hey, listen, I'm just trying to get my slice of the pie here.
One more strain to you.
Oh.
As he cold shoulders you.
That's the noise of me. So this sounds like, dawn. Okay.
Eight. I'm going to sort of pass out in the middle of the bar.
So as you guys are sitting around,
yeah, I don't mean to be so...
Well, yeah, well, like her. You'll join Doc in passing out in the bar. Yeah.
Sorry, I don't mean to be so rude, but those Hollynet passwords, it's worth more than its weight in Kyber crystals.
At that point...
Wait, how much do codes weigh? Because they're numbers.
Doc,
energy in your mind.
Damn, you are smart.
Yep.
What? I don't know. This Brainiac's always talking over my head.
You guys are...
Yeah, it makes it real difficult to intimidate people with all these innocent-looking lollygaggers hanging around me, but...
Yeah.
I thought there's a little reep sound, or more of a doggy-type whine. I don't know if I can do that. A doodles type wine, yeah.
Yeah, I live in that
adorable
world.
Adorable.
As Alberto's little, not so little, alien bulldog, space bulldog, like a
space
green...
Space bulldog! What's this dog's name?
Looks like an English bulldog.
Oh, I love it already.
Green skin, though, no hair.
I like it.
I like it a
horrifying,
lot.
Horrifying.
Like if you crossed a Gamorrean with an English bulldog.
Oh,
I'm loving this dog.
And it's got its own collar.
Kind of cute.
I'm loving it.
Yeah, its nose is always... Got two giant big eyes that are staring off in different directions.
Yeah.
Fungi, what is it, Fungi?
And then a moment later, the navigation beacon, which you can see from your second floor window out across the city streets, is red. It starts flashing.
Yeah, you know what that means.
A moment of tension sweeps across the bar.
And everybody leaps up and starts running.
Everybody leaps up and starts running as who would have a data pad on them?
Oh, I would. Oh, Sorry.
I speak binary.
Okay. So you both have data pads on you.
Okay. Yeah, well, we can both have data pads.
You probably just have one data pad because it is crap town. So.
But I am a gadgeteer, wouldn't I have...
You're a gadgeteer, she's a scientist. Who hangs on to it?
I meant like, wouldn't I have just kind of cobbled together my own that might not work as well?
Okay. I'm down with
but
that.
But like, she has a really nice one.
You've got the old iPad and you've got the maker kit made from a Raspberry Pi.
Oh, no.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
You've got an iPod, you have a Zune. Like, that's pretty much how it's Zune humor, sorry.
Yep, you get the and this map appears on your screen with a bunch of scan lines.
Yep.
And then you see three incoming lines. And someone down below stands up and goes, "We got Starfall!" Everyone leaps to their feet, as you point out. Mm-hmm. People come running outside. Someone else is on the second floor, like a different guy from a different crew. A bunch of like, punks with like red spiky hair and wearing all black with metal studs all over them, like, jump out the window and like bounce down the
it's cool.
The tin roofing, and you hear them hit the ground, and you start to hear outside in the streets the as people start revving up their souped up land speeders.
Come on, let's go.
No, yeah,
flash speeder.
You guys come running outside.
Yeah.
I assume.
Yes. Yes.
Like
let's
to
go.
Try and steal a bottle of scotch on my way out, if possible.
Definitely. Give me a skullduggery check on that. I need and
is
take.
There flash speeder.
Is that what you chose?
It's definitely going to be the Seraph flash speeder.
You didn't go with the truck?
I'm not going to go with the truck.
So you guys run outside, and there's the big truck, and then it shifts out of the way, and there's the Seraph flash speeder with
wait, which one is that one? The gun with?
That's the one with the gun.
Okay.
I'm going to give you same difficulty you had before.
Okay.
Because this guy's going to be aware, but take two advantage because he's distracted by everyone running out.
Yay.
Is it possible that while he's doing that, for like to do a sweep of his desk with just like looking to see if I can see like maybe there's a post-it that has codes on
give
it.
Give me a perception check. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Total wash.
You're made to be a good guy. I don't know why you keep trying.
I was like.
Okay.
So you grab it.
I'm like, here you go, Doc. And you just like.
Smash.
It's like clearly just cleaning. It's like, no. It's like,
wait, what is this? Greg, keep hurting me.
This is clearly like, it's clearly just like cleaning fluid.
I just got, it's WD-40.
Oh, great.
This will get you where you need to go.
Sorry. The Bard 1971 donates one boost to Talene.
Woo-hoo!
Let's get this perception check to see if you can identify the codes. But before we do that, I should mention it now before we get too much deeper in. Guys, you too can donate if you're watching at home. You can donate to influence the outcome of the game. Easy and fun to do. All you have to do is follow the instructions that Dom will be sharing with everybody in chat. There's a whole menu of things you can donate on, including rerolls, adding boost die, adding triumph and despair to the game, healing people, healing strain, or giving me rerolls because I use them to screw the guys over, and that's what you want to see. You can also, I'll get all the blurbs out right now. Find us here next Thursday. We'll be at same channel, same time. You can find the podcast version of this, which is a few weeks behind, on iTunes or any other podcast app. Never tell me the odds. Or on the website, Star Wars RPG Podcast. Dootcoom. Back to the action. So, as you're running out, you grab the bottle. Abierto's going, "Hey, well, you guys, you gotta pay! Yeah, I know you're good for it!" You come running by. This is to look, so this isn't to sneak anything by him. This is to see if he's got a password written somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna give you two purple.
Okay.
But because you're in a hurry and everyone's running out and it's a little bit chaotic, I'm gonna give you two black setback.
Ooh.
I was so excited when I saw double.
Okay, so you said two black, two purple?
Two black, two purple against your perception.
Okay.
Damn, you're outside in the flash speeder.
All right.
Oh,
probably warming it up. These guys are jumping in. Oh my god.
That was like a success.
Is it? It is a success, finally.
Period. And that's it. One success.
One success, and the advantage and threat cancel out.
Yep.
Oh my god. Okay, so you do see the passcode for the HoloNet relay. But it's long. It's like a Wi-Fi password. You see where it is. You're like, that's it for sure. You don't commit. You're not able to commit it to memory, but you see where he has it in the bar. And then you hear like the honking from the horn outside.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's get this damn thing off of the ground. I want to get the hell out of here.
So
zoom out.
The reason I asked you who had the iPad, I need either an astrogation or a computer's check to quickly triangulate where these three incoming meteors are going to land. As you guys come running outside, you can see them arcing through the atmosphere, glittering white streaks.
Triumph?
Are coming like in.
Super good, awesome success.
Narrowing down, closer and closer. Definitely three. They start to break up and they're going in three different locations.
Okay. Can I get four green? Mm. How difficult
is this going to be, astrogation or computers?
Computers.
Okay. Then it will be just two purple.
Two purple. I'm going to save my boost because I got this one down.
All right. Let's do it.
I did not have this one down.
Wow. You guys have been rolling amazing.
Wait. What? Can I use the table reroll? Does it, you guys mind if I use the table reroll?
Definitely. Let's get some coordinates here.
Did you have any advantage on your? No, it was a watch.
It was just a success.
There we go. That's better. That's two success and an advantage.
Great. Okay. You triangulating on this thing really quick. Two success and an advantage. There are two successes. I'm going to give you two boost as you pinpoint the three shards as they come in. Three meteorites. One is close by. Really close. It's going to make it a tight target. Mm. Another one, a little further out. Final one is about twice as far. Pretty dang distant. You get a little feed out. You said you had one advantage?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you get like a quick little feed out as you're triangulating them in.
I'm doing this drunk too, guys.
Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back again next week. Until then, may the Force be with you.